My father was a physicist at IBM in New York, and so that's what brought us to the country. And when my parents left, the apartheid government was very much entrenched. And when we went back, it was still very much entrenched as well. But it was clear that it was coming apart. When it finally came down, I was in this country. And although I had an urge to go back in many ways, because that is a country that I have a lot of ties to, I still didn't have a hard time deciding that this was my home, not only because I grew up here, but also because I had lived in South Africa and I had lived in Europe growing up. And although all those places had colorful histories and longer histories in many ways and amazing cultures, there's something in this country, in its ideals, in what it hopes to be, and not what it is, but what it hopes to be, that is inspirational. The aspirations of the people at the very birth of the country were much greater than the people themselves. This is a country with a living constitution, and it's an evolving nation. And those are the things about it that I think hold my heart, and also the things that inspire the rest of the world. It's not our military power or our willingness to use it. It's not our claims of being the best, but it's really the core ideals that sort of drive us forward, that make me really convinced that this is where I want to be, and I think made my parents convinced this is where I want to be. And I think that people that come to this country from other places have a unique perspective on just how special it is to have access to that and to influence those ideals and how they're executed.
You didn't hesitate to exercise your First Amendment right to do some criticizing out there. And in addition to talking about what was great about the country, you sort of reminded people that there have been some really bad chapters in our history.
There's lots of times in our history when we've been intolerant. That shines a greater light on what a profound document, for instance, the Declaration of Independence or the Constitution, what profound documents they are, because they survive the very worst of our natures, the selfish nationalism that sort of comes up in countries that are powerful. And so we have to fight all those urges to bully and to feel entitled, which happen, which are human compulsions, I think, not the best ones. I think the ideas of empathy and compassion and shared interests are much more powerful and much more long-lasting and really exploit the spirit of what this country is about. I think it's our responsibility. I think for me it's my responsibility to always remember the darkest times, those things that are happening now and those things that have happened in the recent or distant past and the things that will happen again, the things that attack what we know to be right. Those bad things add to the tapestry and will humble us as we move forward, knowing that things can go very wrong and things can be very wrong at the birth of things that are wonderful and right. We've come a long way, but I think at the same time as we go in the right direction, we go astray just as often.
Do you think growing up in Virginia was a factor in your understanding of and belief in these early principles? In other words, being the shadow of Monticello, does that sort of imbue you with certain beliefs about the United States and its mission?
It's hard to not be inspired by someone like Jefferson or those people that are the early part of this country by their magnificent ideas. But I find just the history of this country sort of stepping up. It's stepping up that makes it feel like a line going somewhere. As much as Thomas Jefferson, I feel like Martin Luther King, the same sort of profound step up when we raise the consciousness of a population and raise their awareness of the tyrannies that are at our doorstep.
You feel that musicians and artists have a responsibility to sort of lead, to push people toward their better selves?
I think we all have a responsibility to speak our mind. I don't feel any compulsion because I'm a musician whatsoever. If someone asks me, I speak my mind. I don't think there's any rules on, well, if you play an instrument or you have a paintbrush or you're a writer, that you're any more responsible for stating your opinion than if you're a garbage man or a ditch digger.
Two more quick questions. I don't think everyone realizes that you've left Charlottesville. You're living in Seattle now?
Well, I live in both places. I didn't write that introduction, but I live in Seattle much of the time because my wife studied medicine there, and our family started while she was in school, and we love it. It's a beautiful, open-minded, naturally stunning part of the country, and enjoy it there. We still have a home here that we spend as much time as we can enjoying, and much of my family are here, and so I certainly don't feel like I've left Charlottesville. And much of my life I've spent living in two places, and maybe sometimes in two continents, and sometimes in three continents, and a lot of that time with a backpack.
What inspired you most today about this ceremony?
The part where I got most choked up was listening to the new citizens telling their stories, and that took a lot of guts.